Hello, my babies, and welcome to Poker in the Iris. I'm Uncle Daddy. I'm Joe Stapleton. He's my work wife, James Hardigan.
Happy International Day of the Potato, Joe. A very appropriate selection because the Potato Clan will be taking to the mean streets of Erringal tonight. There is PUBG on the agenda, and all of us are a complete bunch of potatoes when we play that game.
Yeah, and I haven't joined in a long time. I'm trying to figure out if I have the time to play today or not. I think I might actually be able to play today. We'll figure it out in a little bit. We got to finish this podcast first.
True.
Coming up on today's show, it is our Scoop 2024 recap show. Champions have been crowned. Millions have been won. Fantasy leagues have been leagued. I don't know. But we'll be talking one last time with Howard Swain to give us the final tallies on Scoop winners. All the winners except one, because Lex Veldhaus was the winner of his first ever Scoop title this year, and he took down the Team Pro Scoop Fantasy League. So we'll be getting the skinny on that straight from the horse's mouth. Lex is the guest on today's show. How long has it been since Lex been on the show?
I look back. So the last time we had Lex on the show was when we basically themed an entire podcast around him. Do you remember I went to Asper's in Stratford for Lex Live 2? And I recorded the show live on location. You joined remote. And yeah, that was nearly 5 years ago.
Okay, great. So because when I hit him up, I was like, ooh, have we been hitting Lex up for too many favors? This feels fine. 5 years feels like enough time has passed. Lex also plays a major role in the newly rebooted Big Game on tour and plays some huge pots in the most recent episode. So we'll be chatting with him about that as well. I'm guessing one of those topics will be more pleasant than the other. Probably prefers to talk about Scoop.
Probably going to be like 90% Scoop and just a cursory kind of like, the Big Game on tour. Lex Live 3.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll shit smooth it over. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a little early for our Barcelona preview show, but Cornell Puscau is this week's super fan and has challenged me to trivia on the history of EPT Barcelona. And you might as well just get the address to send his merch and his ticket now because...
Oh, don't be so defeatist, Joey.
Dude, if you saw... Like, everyone listened to how bad I did about poker trivia in general. I have no shot if this dude picked EPT Barcelona. Just none. All right, so... Not too much movie and TV talk made it into the Scoop broadcast, oddly enough. Turns out things were pretty exciting. Didn't need to fill too much time. I did want to reiterate, I loved Furiosa. I would consider seeing it again, actually. Yes, it's no Fury Road. But then again, what would be, right? Fury Road was... You liked Fury Road.
I did like Fury Road, but not. I didn't think it was as amazing as many people said it was. Look, I'm hearing good things about this movie, so I will definitely check it out.
All right, cool. I am finally getting prepped to see the new Planet of the Apes, and or at least see it on streaming by the time I'm done catching up. So I've gone back. I watched Rise, and I'm about halfway through Dawn, and I forgot how much I enjoyed those movies the first time around.
To be honest with you, I thought they were a pretty good trilogy of films, but I kind of thought the whole thing was done. I was a little bit shocked that they made another one. I guess people just can't resist on cashing in on that IP. And look, maybe the film would be good. I just was a bit like, another one when I saw the trailer.
In the same way that I don't love prequels, even though I did like Furiosa, because, you know, as we've talked about many times, there's sort of a ceiling as to what kind of surprise you can have. I'm not that huge on this new Planet of the Apes happens like hundreds of years in the future.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure how attached I'll be to these characters either, given that I don't see how any of them. Anyway, fine. I did end up watching The Fall Guy. People kept talking about how they didn't understand why Fall Guy flopped at the theater, and it's because no one likes movies anymore. And I watched it, and I was like, it wasn't that good.
Right.
It had its moments, and I really like a lot, you know, I think it was a movie that somehow was not as, didn't add up to the sum of its parts. But have you started season 3 of Hacks yet?
It's not available in the UK. I have to wait till I'm back stateside before I can watch it. So seasons 1 and 2 are available on Amazon Prime in the UK, and so I need to be in a part of the world where I have access to HBO Max before I can watch season 3.
I'm dying to see what you think of it.
No, I'm keen to, even though I don't disagree with you that the season 2 finale was a perfect, perfect conclusion to the story. And anything that follows can only be surplus to requirements.
The only thing I'm really hoping they don't do is kill off the Jean Smart character by the end of this series, because then it'll start to really conflict. Because I have like a similar relationship, right? My relationship with Norm was like not that dissimilar from this. And I have a thing that I want to write about our time together. And if she ends up dying at the end of this, it's really going to fuck up my story. So don't do it.
So yes, I am on the road again very soon. I'll be in Vegas this weekend. Now that Scoop is done and dusted, Vegas for the first weekend of the World Series, a few days in LA, and then it's ESPT / UKIPT Malaga. Thinking as I'm going to a number of different poker festivals, I might shoot a couple of travel vlogs. But I'll tell you what's putting me off, Joe, is that sometimes I just want to get on with my life without turning everything into content.
Yes.
I just want to be in the moment.
I don't know if you remember this, but I used to, I hate to word it like this, but back before everyone was doing content all the time, I would often be doing little videos here and there. Oh, here's the airport. Here's this. Here's that.
Yeah.
Here's a funny little thing. And eventually I put my camera away because I felt like it was detracting and there were plenty of other people doing stuff as well. And now it's just like, you take out your camera at an airport and there's 9 other people all filming in the background behind you. So I get it. I totally get it. And, you know, we do enough produced content. We do enough stuff already in front of the camera. I don't know. If you're not getting the enjoyment out of it that you would want, maybe don't do it. I do have a question about your recent YouTube video.
Sure. Well, the irony is the reason why I might just do a travel vlog for YouTube is because, as you've seen, I'm experimenting with different formats and different topics at the moment. So did a couple of watch videos. And yes, the most recent video that was published last week was about James Bond, something I'm very passionate about, have decent knowledge of. And someone asked me recently what I think of the Pierce Brosnan James Bond films. So that's why I made that video last week.
And so when you make these videos, I haven't had a chance to watch it. Sorry, I think you understand we've been just pretty busy the last few days. Do you put clips of the movies in? Are you afraid?
Like, I do.
How does that work?
I do. I do think that generally speaking, they're not coming after people who are making editorial content, who are doing reviews, who are doing retrospectives, who are doing stuff which in turn is promoting the material. But I still think that the right thing to do, as I do 3 times during this video, is credit the copyright holders for that material. And also, generally speaking, I tend to use shots as paint and not use a huge number of clips with audio. And of course, do not use any music from the movies. So trying to stay on the right side of not violating YouTube's copyright law and not taking the piss when it comes to using someone else's intellectual property.
I also think that, you know, if you're going to take something that they put, I think a really fair use of fair use is probably something that's in a trailer, right? If it's in a commercial already.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And what I would say is, generally speaking, and again, this is the way my brain works, there is a James Bond 007 YouTube channel, right, where they have key scenes from certain movies. And
yeah.
So I try wherever possible to use footage that the copyright holders have already put for free on YouTube as teasers for the movies, rather than just any old scene ripped from the Blu-ray.
Cool.
But that, I just think that's the right way to do it. But it's very difficult to talk about these movies without illustrating. So that's the way I approached it. But yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, you can check out that video. It was produced during the day while I was playing online poker at night. Because yes, I was one of the people who took part in this year's Spring Championship of Online Poker. Well, Scoop is over for another year, so this is your last chance for 12 months to listen to this glorious piece of music performed by the Isle of Man Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Sir Christopher Stragalis.
11 and a half months, right? I mean, the fucking Scoop is 6 weeks long, so...
It is a long series. Scoop 2024, how did you put it, Joe? Champions have been crowned, millions have been won, but who were those champions? How much prize money was paid out? We turn, as ever, to the man with the key information, our hard-working Scoop correspondent. He's got the looks, he's got the brains, he's Howard Swartz.
Yeah, you actually, you, I think you read that wrong. You said man with key information. I'm pretty sure it just says monkey.
I would never, ever be so unkind about Howard. For the last time this series, Howard, please give us the final, final series stats. Blow us away with some ridiculously big numbers.
Is it over? Is it actually over, first of all?
Well, I think we'll come on to the after party later, but this part, thankfully, is over. Yes, we have had 384 tournaments. That was the scheduled number, and that is how many are now completed. In them, we had 1,376,183 entries. The prize pools weighed in at 90,452,155, and the winners took $13.573 million. So, big enough numbers for you, I think. So that was another very, very good series.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we checked in with you last night on the stream, and it's amazing, as soon as you add the numbers from the main events, how they literally skyrocket.
Yeah, the phase events too, obviously there's like tons and tons of entries in that. But yeah, in terms of the prize pools, those main events are enormous, obviously.
Yeah. How does this compare with previous scoops?
Well, this was actually the biggest scoop ever in terms of events and tournaments. So in that respect, it's the biggest one we've had. It was the highest number of entries we've seen since 2021. I can tell you the all-time scoop stats now, if you want. Basically,
please,
we can add 2024 in. So we have now in scoop over, you know, all those years since 2009, we've had 1,101 events, which means 3,301 tournaments. We've had nearly 15 million entries into those events. We'll cross 15 million next year very easily. We've had $1.4 billion in prize pools, and we've had $216 million to winners. So that's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah, so that's if we add in the 2024 stats. And so those all-time numbers are just insane.
Absolutely. We need to talk about the 10K main event quickly, because that's what we were streaming last night. Joe, we witnessed the dominance of Farkish, the eventual champion, who took the advertised first prize of nearly $950,000. No deal done at that final table. Look, we said it last night, and I think it's worth repeating. This was over probably in half the time that final table should have taken, because this guy played well and ran superbly.
Yeah. That's really all there is to it. And there were a bunch of coolers leading up to that moment where folks who could have played a little more snug, a little more, you know, let themselves blind down. I think I brought this up on the broadcast last night, but if you take the live heads up we just saw in Monte Carlo and how passively that was played and how long it took to play out, this was the exact opposite, where you know, things were very deep and it could have gone very passive, but it didn't. There was a lot of determination in all of the players who I'd say even made the final four to continue to play big pots, play aggressively. And thankfully, it got us all out of there a couple hours earlier.
Yeah. Now, obviously, the 1K and the 109 finished before the 10K. Remind us what happened in the medium and low main events, Howard.
Yeah, sure. Well, the medium main event did end up in a deal. There were two Brazilians, Paulo Moraes and Go Teles Go. They both ended up with the best part of 500K. Paulo Moraes took it. They took an extra 10K, I think. But interestingly, Paulo Moraes became a double champion because they'd previously won Scoop 6 medium. So all the way at the beginning of the series, they won a 109.6 max and then chopped and won the medium main event. So brilliant series for Moraes. That's the screen name and his real name, by the way. And then Greatness M from Thailand won the low event. Now, that was a 109 entry. This player had one bullet and turned that 109 into $241,000.
Wow. Fuck yeah, that's so cool.
It's pretty cool. That's multiplied their entry fee by 2,212 to take that prize. So good for them. Thailand has become another one of those hubs, like actually Mexico. So yeah. We don't necessarily know where this player's from, but now playing from Thailand, and what a great result.
So was it just the No Limit Hold'em main events last night? Was there anything else?
No, they always have a few little turbos, few little ways to get out the hole if that's you. But Gavin Cochran won. So Gav's 101 beat Talal Shakirchi in the 1K Super Tuesday. So raid a lot. Talal had a couple of runners-up spots this time. Former Scoop champion, of course. So this is Cochran's second career Scoop title, and this is kind of interesting because he won his first in 2010. So that was the second year that Scoop existed.
Yeah.
I think there's got to be a record between first and second Scoop titles. I can't really crunch those numbers, but I can't see how it could be any different. So first one in 2010 and second one in 2024.
Wow.
So yeah, there were 12 tournaments actually last night that finished, and players from 11 different countries won them. So it was a real mixed bag. First title of the year for Luxembourg last night, and a second ever for Guatemala. Guatemala had its first Scoop winner this year, and it got its second last night.
Nice. Okay, let's get to the question everyone wants the answer to. Who is the 2024 Scoop Player of the Series?
Yeah, well, I think this is probably going to be the closest Player of the Series race we've ever had. And the official numbers now are in. And Denis Strebkov, Adrenaline 710, pipped foul first by just 5 points. So 5 is the smallest increment of points that we can award in the array in the race. So it literally couldn't have been closer without it being tie. So Strebkov min cashed a 320 wrap-up turbo and the 530 final mystery high and low and the $215 Super Tuesday.
Holy shit.
Like 4 min cashes on the last night. And I think that's what tipped it. So foul first, min cash, the medium series wrap-up, and the $5.50 final mystery. They possibly missed a couple of min cashes. But anyway, the final numbers, Adrenaline 710, Denis Strebkov, 2,550. Foul first, 2,545. Interestingly,
Hang on a second. This 5-point difference is the difference between $25,000 and nothing, correct?
Yes, exactly. And they both grinded. Strebkov actually played marginally fewer events than foul first, pipped it. It kind of interestingly today I read an interview with Foul First. He's given an interview with a Russian site about last year, but it turns out that they're all friends. So Foul First is friends with Adrenaline and also is friends with Premove, another absolute crusher. And Foul First says that Adrenaline and Premove are his coaches, so he learned from those guys. And here's another interesting thing. We say foul first. This is intended to be read as Faust. Now, if you look at it, the L and the 1 is kind of like a U. So he says that anyone in the West always calls him foul first, but it was intended to be Faust. The great playwright of Faust is the character, isn't it, in the Marlowe play? So yeah, Faust is the devil. And it sells his soul to the devil. That's right. Remembering my classics there. And there was another interesting thing he mentioned in his interview, that his Scoop and W Coupe trophies, he's got tons of them, they were all destroyed in a house fire. So like that was pretty. But wrote to PokerStars and they replaced the trophies, every single one of them, with the same inscriptions going back however long. So that was pretty cool. Anyway,
dude, you know what? There's plenty of stuff to bitch about for like online poker companies. And I've, obviously they're my employer. I've got my beefs with them, but that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah,
that's a pretty nice thing to do. I'm sorry about that guy's fire, but man, that's cool that Stars replaced all the trophies.
But I've got a bitch about is that this player didn't actually win Player of the Year this year. So this is all about the person who came second. It was actually Denis Strebkov.
It was his coach.
It was his curse. So just quickly, Patrick Leonard won the high leaderboard with Renan Bresci, and Strebkov was third in that. So in total, Strebkov won $37,650 in the leaderboards. That's $25,000 for the overall, $5,000 for third in the high, $2,500 for fourth in the medium, and $150 for 20th position in the low. So who could possibly argue that that's not a player in the series winning performance.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that it did go down to the wire, unlike the Scoop League. Now, we're going to go into this with more detail with Lex in just a moment, but a very comfortable victory. It wasn't even close, right?
Yeah, at the beginning, there was a little bit of a seesaw, wasn't there, between Spraggy and Lex, but Lex just pulled clear. And really, you have to say that Lex himself is like the is the dominant member of that team. After that first little back and forth, Team Lex was basically coasting. So yeah, good for him. I know you've got him as a guest as well, so you can hear more what it was like. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll get into Lex's win and the Scoop League in just a moment. What else is on the agenda? Oh, Brazil. Did they get to 89 titles?
They did not. So this
Oh, what a bunch of losers.
This is actually the first time that their year-on-year victories didn't increase. You know, they got ridiculous. You know, it went up and up and up. And we said, when are they going to stop? When can
hey,
it
Brazil.
Possibly end?
Hey, Brazil. Guatemala's coming for you.
Yeah, so what was good this year, though, so 44 countries won titles this year, and I think that's the most ever. So, you know, 44 different countries, so including Guatemala, as you mentioned, the first for Dominican Republic. You know, it's a shrinking pool, essentially, because, so, you know, countries are having different licensing issues, but there were 41 different countries last year, 40 in 2022, but yeah, 44 this time, so that's pretty good. But Brazil was stranded on 85 victories, which is a shame, but you know, next year Brazil.
embarrassing Brazil. 85.
So looking back at the series, Howard, and let's remind ourselves that it started 25 days ago, what were your personal highlights? What do you think were the key moments, the key stories that we'll take away and look back on in the years to come?
Well, we'll have to. I mean, we've mentioned him already, but Strebkov's four titles is pretty incredible. Conan Drynan once won five in 2020, but four is really, really unusual. Sean Deeb's done it before, but not even Benny Glaser's done that. He's done three before. We also saw that brilliant 2-in-1 from Kelvin Kerber. I think you remember Kerber won the medium and the high of the limit hold'em,
yep,
which is kind of super unusual. That's always good when that happens. And he beat Terence Chan. He was the first person ever to do it, and he beat Terence Chan heads up. And Adrian Mateos had a sensational year. So remember, he won two titles, including the 25K super high roller. He came second in three other tournaments. But he was away for almost all of Scoop. So he played the beginning and he played the last few days. And he didn't play a huge chunk in the middle because he was elsewhere playing a live series. But he still absolutely crushed. So it was mad. So yeah, a lot of players came. So Renan Brushy, Patrick Leonard and Nicholas Thum, you know, Flushy, they came runner up three times. Flushy actually made at least five final tables. Didn't get a win, but, you know, he was there and thereabouts at the time. And there was this player called .com?long.
Yeah.
Did you see that player? Yeah. Yes. I mean, I've not noticed him before, but had three second places, won an event, had tons of other finals as well. So we should probably figure out who this person is and see.
.com?long?
.com?long.
So, hold on, I did a question mark at the end of the lol. Hold on. .com?long.
Key question, Howard. Final question is, are you going to be staying on for the after party? And I ask this of someone who strikes me as the kind of person who doesn't stay long at the actual party.
Yeah, I'll be in the kitchen probably. That's where I usually see out most parties. So, I'll look at it. I won't be doing anything too much about it, thankfully. But, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Running from this coming weekend, a focus on low and mid stakes and with mystery bounty main events. Howard, thank you so much for work over the last few weeks, the podcast updates, the live stream updates. Really appreciate it. And let's just recap the highlights for Team Pro. First Scoop wins ever for Tonka, who took down the $530 Sunday kickoff 2 days ago. And a few weeks back, Lex Feldhaus claimed victory in the 5K Titans, earning more than 140K, and we are thrilled to have him back on the podcast for the first time in nearly 5 years. Lex, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Tired, content, happy, and proud. So, all those things, I think.
That's an interesting bunch of adjectives to describe yourself, because we've seen a lot of you lately, not necessarily one-on-one like this, but we had the Cash Challenge. We've been seeing you on Big Game. We've seen you in Scoop. And you said a lot of things in your Big Game interviews about how you're sort of happy and content, but you're also sort of always wanting more. And in the Big Game, you weren't exactly winning either. What does it take to get you to be happy and content these days?
That's all, like, you know, I think the stuff in personal, you know, personal life is pretty clear. Like, I just love spending time with my kids and friends, etc. If you talk about like fulfillment in career, I'm just in a constant state of happy, because I'm just sort of proud where I am from where I've gotten, you know, with how I treat poker, how I feel about poker, how I play poker, you know, just how I approach it and everything. So I'm really happy, and I kind of feel like I have like this huge second wind pretty much when it comes to the game and when it comes to playing. But also the thing about the Big Game is that it also just made me so happy that I got to do it again. I don't know, like, life was pretty turbulent back then, and I was in a relatively good situation back then, but it was like still so crazy, you know. And now,
when you say back then, you mean the original Big Game? Okay.
Yeah. And it's just like, if you just look at how much more professional I've gotten and how much more the more contemplating way in which I approach the game, but also just I'm more appreciative, right? Like, now I'm playing the Big Game, I'm like, holy shit, I'm playing the Big Game, you know. It's I'm playing these stakes like at this level, and I'm here, and just the difference in my presence and experiencing is just night and day compared to 2010, 2009.
Did you not have that appreciation back then? Did you think, did you not realize how easily it was coming, that sort of thing?
Well, I think that back then I was definitely thinking like, wow, this is cool, you know, and I'm playing a Big Game, and there's, you know, Daniel and Doyle, and I'm playing, and it's a cool concept, and it's high stakes. But I don't know, man. It's just like all these things in poker, like, I never really walked around just thinking like, wow, I can play every EPT stop and I'm just here, you know, or I can play 24 tables of 10-20 no limit hold'em online. Like, when I think about that now, I'm like, that's actually fucking crazy when you think about like how intensive that is and how high stakes, and just doing a full World Series schedule, you know, where after like 3 months you're just walking around just like, I don't know, am I gonna drown myself in the Bellagio fountain or the Venetian one, you know? Like, you just just not. And now it just seems like, I don't know, when I'm just at an EPT, I'm just like so much more open to experiencing it or something, where back in the day, and it's, you know, it's an age thing for sure. I've also been humbled by poker and time, you know, different bad experiences, different kicks back down. Like, you see that you can be broken, like, you know, like physical health really struggling at a certain point. So it's like, it's very normal, but I'm so happy that I got the chance to sort of do it again, you know? And I feel like that's where I am right now. So it's not necessarily that I don't like the guy from 14 years ago or the way he went all about that, because at the same part, I'm like, yeah, okay, he was 25. Like, what the fuck do you expect? You know?
Yeah. So,
And now, but now I'm like, yeah, now I get to see this all again with new eyes. And it's just amazing. Yeah.
Picking up on a couple of things you said there, Lex, one is about health and the other is about volume, because I watched your live stream a couple of times. And even though you just had that big win in the 5K Titans, even though you just become a Scoop champion, I was actually literally feeling sorry for you, because you were streaming and you clearly were not well. You were clearly not in good health and you were really struggling. But also, I could hear in the background every time you had an alert on your computer, and you were playing so many tournaments, you were playing every event at every single buy-in level, and it was just like, how the hell are you meant to focus on the stuff that matters when you're literally playing everything?
Yeah, it's intense. I talked to you know, and this is not like, you know, let one thing be clear, like, I choose to do what I do and I love what I do, but I will say, I had one day where I was literally too sick to stream, but I still wanted to try and make day twos and play. And poker is a very competitive game and it can be very stressful, but playing without streaming, it just felt like swimming naked, you know? It was just chill. It was just so serene and calm, and I had time to make notes, and I had time to save spots and record some spots for later viewing with a coach. And it just felt so relaxed. And I told Sprague as well, at a certain point, like, he was having a really bad day because there was like his mic wasn't working, and I had something similar, and we're just like ranting to each other because he's one of the only people that truly gets what I'm going through at that moment, right? There's also other streamers, but there just aren't a whole lot of people who go that hard, right?
Yeah.
And he does, and he knows, and then he was just like, he's just like, man, I'm just like, my fingers are tingling. I'm just so fucked in the head, and I'm just like, I feel the same. But it's like, what we're doing right now isn't exactly normal, right? Like, grinding a coupe is so intense and can be so crazy and draining, and then we're recording ourselves doing it.
Yeah,
and just dealing with everything that comes with it. So, and I wouldn't change it for the world, right? Like, I love that pressure, and I love creating that sort of like sphere that where everything needs to happen. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty draining. Last Sunday I was standing in the shower. I was feeling well. I was standing in the shower throwing up, and I was like, okay, it's, you know, Scoop final Sunday. But then you're playing, and it's, yeah, I don't know. Then it all sort of clicks, and you get into the motion, and little things like, it's really important. Like, chat really helps me, you know, like people that are very positive, supportive, and people showing up every day. And it's really easy to feed off of the excitement of people. When somebody says like, I had to leave the room when you were all in because I couldn't stand the tension, like something like that really gives me, you know, that makes me feel like, oh, that's sick. You know, that's awesome. So, I don't know. In the end, you do it, and you know, next week I'll be like, I can't wait till it's W Coupe. So,
yeah, I mean, look, to speak to that as well, Lex, I think one aspect you're even leaving off of it is that, so you're streaming for whatever it is, 8, 10, 12 hours at a time, playing very high level poker, entertain people. And also, life's happening on a screen too that no one can see. You're getting text messages from your wife. You're getting messages about your kids. You're answering emails. I will sometimes text Spraggy forgetting that he is streaming, and he's carrying on with his life and not even showing those seams as well. That's all added stress also, knowing that you're kind of just spinning plates and trying to keep your family going at the same time, waiting for that few hour window when you're done at the end of the day. That's got to be stressful as well.
Yeah, it's definitely also sort of like the guilt of not being there. You know, it's like because Navi, my son, he's 3 years old now, so he goes to kindergarten, and he just started. So I generally don't want to miss anything from the kids. Cancel pretty much everything for it. But, you know, there's going to be stuff where, you know. So his first time to kindergarten, and then he had fun. And then the second time, apparently some kids said, like, oh, you can't play with us. And some other kids said something like that, too. And then, you know, he comes home, and then he's like sad that he has to go the next time, and he's crying and stuff. Like, when you hear stuff like that, right? And then you're like, oh, I'm not there, I'm here. And then obviously, you know, my wife Mirta, she's doing everything, she's working, she's taking care of everything, doing everything. And then it's a lot. And then, you know, it's a lot. Yeah, it's just a lot. But, you know, it's
Well, we can focus on the parts that make it worthwhile right now, because we haven't barely touched on the fact that you won your first scoop. You won it in a huge buy-in event, a 5K buy-in event. And just for those folks who didn't watch it live, what sort of joy was coursing through your veins at that moment?
Well, it's crazy because, like, it's like I kept talking about the big game, about how it was full circle, right? Like, my first, I don't know how many scoops and W coops. I was just playing 24 tables of cash and 12 tables of tournaments. And that was it. Wow. I was 36 tabling. Didn't really give a shit about the tournaments. I remember, this is definitely not one of my prouder moments. So this is not a, like, look at me, I'm cool kind of thing that I'm trying to say here. But I remember there was one coop, and every single event I would go all in until I would double up. And then if I would double up, I would play that event seriously. Like, that's how little I cared for tournaments, et cetera, right? So it's just complete disregard. And also just not knowing the beauty of tournament poker, right? I just looked at it like, oh, cool, titles. And if you want a final table, it's cool. But, like, you know, I play cash, and that's the thing. And then now I just really love tournaments. And tournaments are played in such a gangster way now, you know? And I think we're really in an era where like back in the day, you could not say that tournaments were played as gangsters, right? It was just a significant difference between tournament players and cash game players. And that just completely evaporated. If you see what tournament players do now, it's wild, and it's under that pressure and the bluffs they pull and the competition that's there and how fierce the competition in a 5K or a 10K is. So to now also fully appreciate that. And now I really, really want titles, right? Now I do feel like I'm sort of like starting to play for legacy and starting to wanting to all that kind of stuff and prove myself. And I care now. So that's a big difference. I truly, truly care. So when I won, it just felt like a physical weight lifted off. Because, you know, the funny thing is, it's like, because people in my chat tease me for this, but, you know, I have a Stadium Series title in the High Roller. I have 6 titles in Winter Series, which are all like level-wise very comparable, right? Like buying-wise, prize-wise and stuff. So I have like all these titles outside of the coupes, and I don't have a coupe title. And then for that, you know, for that weight to be lifted off, and also just like so proud that I closed the tournament on a final table where I truly believe I was the worst player. It was insane. It was a mix of emotions. I was super happy. I was very relieved. And then my wife was on WhatsApp, and she was like screaming all these like lines and stuff. And then I was like, holy shit, don't make me break down. You know, like I read all these things she was saying, like, oh, you did it finally. This must be so good. I'm so proud of you. I'm so fucking happy. And I'm like sitting there. I was like, oh God, you know, don't. So it's like, I don't know. There was a lot happening. And I think you can tell as well, like for people that saw the clip, where it was a mixture, seriously, of like relief and just like really deep happiness, you know? So yeah, it was just, it felt really good. It felt really, really good. Yeah.
And in addition to obviously winning that 5K Titans, the other big thing this year was the addition of the Scoop League. And I know that this was a bit of fun. This was friendly rivalry between you and 3 other PokerStars ambassadors. But as ever, the rivalry may be friendly, but the rivalry is real. And you guys are all very competitive. Yep. And it was very clear that you desperately wanted to win this.
Yeah, it's whenever you do games with friends and there's bragging rights involved and you start picking. I mean, from the first moment, I think you could tell, especially Spraggy. I mean, Parker as well. Like, Parker really knew a lot about, like, what people's plans were and stuff. And then from the moment I got to the set to record it, and I saw everybody on their phone, and they had their notebooks, and I was like, and then I was like, fucking tryhards. But then I thought to myself, I did the same thing. I thought, like, who do I see a lot? Like, who do I see mixed games? And then I thought about, like, people, and I wanted to, you know, Adrenaline, who ended up winning the overall leaderboard, right? Yeah, he won, right? Yeah.
He did indeed, by 5 points.
5 points, yeah, crazy.
By the smallest margin possible, yes.
Yeah, unreal. So I knew that I wanted to pick him, but, you know, he was one of my highest picks, but when do I pick him? And then he started making an order, and then you see all these names go out. So it turned competitive real soon. I think leaderboards it's important, you know? It's like people that grind the hardest, and people that play the most events, and people that really want to just do it all. And it's fun to do it against friends. And I also, it's just like a really fun format. So it's also something that I could tell that we all 4 felt very strongly about, something that we wanted to make work because we want to keep doing it as well. Like we're already like thinking about, you know, like if we're going to do it for WCoop and people are strategizing. And I just thought to myself, like, I should get the Discord, Discord names of the people so that I can ask if they're going to play, you know, like that sort of thing. You don't have any dead picks. So, I mean, you know, it's pretty competitive, but it was good fun. And I really like having won. And the buzz in the community was great as well, because they were posting, like when we officially won, people were posting like, holy shit, we did it. You know, the people that got points, and, you know, shout out to Blair Toast, who actually won or got second, I believe, second in the medium leaderboard. And then we have like a guy called Shadissimo, who's a high stakes crusher, but who also, you know, he crushes high stakes, and he was like, let's get some points. And he posted how many points he got. And he was like, hey, I got a final table, you know, we're good. And so that it's really cool, you know, like people really got invested into it. So
I'm glad that they changed the rules very quickly, that all you guys were then on your own teams. I thought it was a bit weird that you're allowed to draft each other. And of course you want to be able to play for yourself.
I liked how upset it made Lex that he couldn't be on his own team at first. That was, I enjoyed that.
But I mean, it worked out very well for you considering that you had a phenomenal scoop. And at one point, I mean, you're in the top 10 for player of the series, for heaven's sake. And your results, your individual results, contributed a huge amount to the result of your team.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's kind of funny because, you know, I said I wanted to draft myself because I really, it's that same thing, right? Like, I really want to bet on myself. And I'm proud that I during the last WCOOP and Scoop, I got in the top 15 or top 20 of the leaderboard. So it was like a thing, like, I really want to show, like, I'm betting on myself, like, I'm going to do it this time. And I really wanted to pick myself. And then Fintan picks me, and he knew that I got some points, but I think Fintan really wanted to just mess with me as well. And then I told my wife, and she was just like, and she saw the video, and then she saw my reaction to not being able to pick myself, and she's like, "You arrogant prick, you know, like, how are you gonna have that reaction?" She's like, "Oh, that's disgusting," and she just walks away from watching it. She's just like, "Yeah, whatever." So I'm like, "Okay." So then we were playing, and it's like, okay, you know, a bit of fun, and you can draft each other, and you know, whatever. So you foil each other's plans. But then quickly while we're playing, it didn't feel, you know, oh, team Lex. And then they were like, oh, Lex, are you going to get points for? And it's like, wait, well, you're on the other team? And I was like, yeah. And then, you know, in Spraggy's chat, that came up a lot. And then, so then I just said, like, hey, I don't know how you guys have noticed it with your audiences, but there's a little bit of a disconnect also in my feeling for not being on our own teams.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
and
completely.
Then, of course, Fintan instantly spins that into us not, you know, not playing fair, etc. But whatever.
Look, Fintan has a lot to answer for, and we'll come on to him in a moment. I would like to say two things I would say, and I hope we see the return of this league format for future online series. I would say there's two things that I would recommend. I think that we could potentially expand it into 6 franchises from 4. But also, I do think we have to kind of have a budget behind it, in the sense that there has to be a value on the players you're drafting. A bit like they do with the 25K Fantasy League for the World Series of Poker. Because I think that way you can't just automatically take the people who are top of the player of the series leaderboard for every single online series, right? Because you're going to run out of budget very soon. You need to have kind of like a balanced lineup, which I guess you do have to a certain extent with the community members being able to play as well. But I just think a bit more strategy in the draft, rather than going in like Fintan did and reel off a list of names of people who aren't even playing Scoop.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. There could be something there, or you could like tier players, right? You can have like 2 tier 1 players, 2 tier 3, or
exactly.
But there's still, like, if we keep the amount of pros to not, you know, what I do liked about the amount that it was this time, like, I could keep adrenaline in my pocket for like the second or third round, to where people had their own like top picks, and then you say adrenaline and you see the reaction from other people, you know. So who are you going to keep as a dark horse that other, like, Fall First? I know that he did really well again this year, but he was just somebody, like, where Spraggy mentioned him, I was like, oh, of course, you know. But you're right. I mean, it's I think it was a good success. I think people were very involved with it. We really enjoyed it. So, you know, making it, expanding it, building on it, like, all that stuff to me just sounds good, because that just means that, just the fact that you're mentioning these things that we could probably build on, just means that you were enjoying watching it, and that you were thinking, like, how can we make this better? Like, whenever that happens, I think we're onto something cool, you know?
I wanted to give you some of the stats that the folks have compiled for us about the Scoop lead. So you picked Patrick Leonard. Not a choice that's hard to make, but on your team, Patrick Leonard entered 373 times, was the number one of anyone chosen.
So just to be clear, there were 384 tournaments. So does that mean Patrick played 373 of those, or are we talking about multiple entries in certain events, do you think?
I think it's multiple entries in certain events. So the way they worded this is took a seat on 373 separate occasions.
Incredible.
So I believe that's 373 total entries. Lex, your team played a combined 2,727 times, the most of all 4 teams.
Volume matters.
And Tonka's team played the least, clocking 1,636.
Yeah.
So just in sheer volume, obviously, that's going to make a huge difference. Lex, your team got the most votes from the public. Over 400 people voted that your team was going to come out on top. So you made the most popular choice, the winning choice.
And I guess those 400 people then get rewarded with a free roll, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Lex, you played the most events of all the team captains, and you played the sixth most number of events of anyone chosen.
Wow.
You finished eighth in individual standings, obviously helped by your win. Laurie Tournier, who was chosen by Team Fintan, was the league's top-performing female.
Yeah.
She had 680 points. Team Lex members made up half of the top 10 spots, with Spraggy getting three of them. Tonka had two. Only five of the selected members didn't play a single event, but 15 players scored 0 points. James Hardigan, not one of those people, did score points.
30 points for Team Fintan.
And there was only one member of your team, Lex, that didn't play a single event, which was the fewest of all four teams. So good choices by you there as well.
Easy.
And Lex, your top five finishers accounted for 62% of all of the points scored by your team. So really well down all around. Now, would you credit your good choices to your good choices or the poor choices of your competition here?
I think if you look at if you look at the other teams and how many players finished high, no, it's definitely my choices. You know, build on your own power. Yeah,
I think so. To be fair, I think Spraggy drafted pretty well.
And, yeah, he had a good team,
and obviously got second place. So the final question on the Scoop League is, what should Fintan's forfeit be? I know mostly what happens in these situations is, you know, as the bottom performer, he would get the number one pick last time around. But that's not how we work these things. It feels like he deserves some kind of punishment for making some poor, poor decisions.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to go and talk to the lads about that. Because we have to think about, everybody will know a pain point from Fintan, something that he'll hate. So if we can combine that into something super painful, that'd be good. I mean, the man is open to anything. Like, he did a tattoo bet with Parker just now for a thing. So he's open to anything. But yeah. I will say, Fintan's very hard to rattle. He's very hard. He's a very stable human
being.
He's
a really good sport.
Yeah, he has incredible mental strength. But we're gonna try and break it.
Two more things we need to talk to you about before we let you go. The first is the big game on tour. You've mentioned it already, the chance to come back and play again. Has it been weird with the episodic nature of these shows that obviously after weeks one and two, you were on an absolute tear, and then came episode three last weekend where we saw obviously the huge hand against Keating, all that profit and more gone. So you've got people really getting behind you for those first two shows. You're like, guys, you've no idea what's coming up next week.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird because, like, you know, obviously anything can happen the rest of the season, but like it just felt weird in the progression of people just thought it would be a continuous lineup, you know, and they were talking in my Discord and my chat, oh my God, is he going to win 200, 300, 400, 500K? There are people saying, oh, maybe he clears out the table. There's nobody left to play, you know. I was like, yeah, well, you know, and then somebody said, I wonder what kind of big pot he's going to win against Keating. And I was like, well, you know. Yeah, no, it is weird, but it's also kind of fun because that way I felt like it went like that at the table as well, you know, like for some, it was weird as well. I think everybody was a little bit nervous or something at the start because how it was going to turn out. And it felt like, oh no, I was going to run over the table. And somebody made some, you know, Jennifer made some comment about, you know, me probably going to
target on back.
What? Sorry?
She gave you the nickname Target on Back.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it was like a little bit, it was almost as if people, and I'm absolutely fine in that role, but it was almost as if people found some sort of like grounding because they were a little bit nervous about the game, about let's just make him the bad guy because he won three hands or something, which is fine, you know. And I was kind of looked at as sort of like the pro, you know what I mean? Like in that atmosphere anyway, but it's fine. So I think then clearly that Pop versus Keating just knocked it all out of the way. So
what's going on, obviously, on a very surface level, I know what's going on in your head when you make that call, but are you just going to yourself like, oh, if I call on him right here, I have like quite literally all of the money?
No, I think I knew that there was, that danger, right? Like versus Keating. And it's very hard when you know, I thought coming in that playing Keating and his wide range would be easier than it was.
Interesting.
I thought that it would just be like, okay, Keating's going to have a wide range. But the way he was sort of like blind potting and then just jamming with draws on people, and sometimes he wouldn't. I don't know. I felt like he sort of like started, from what I've seen, because I did a little bit of research, from what I've seen, he's good. He's made himself better at weaponizing the way he plays. But I knew I was going to value bet the shit out of him, make light value bets, but also not make overfolds, right? Like, that's the craziest thing I could possibly do versus him. And it's kind of funny because during the last pot, I was just like, I could have snap called, but that felt silly. And I would also say that if you play these things on TV a little bit, if you just snap call in a spot where you're super marginal, but you know you want to call, it just kind of looks silly as well. You know what I mean? It's not what the gravitas of the pot deserves if you look at how big the pot is. So it's not like I'm Hollywooding.
Yeah.
But it's also like, okay, so let's mix that in. Like, I wanted to give it an extra second. I do have a bluff catcher. Let's think it over. Let's think about other hands that I've seen from him. And let's also just appreciate the fact that this could be a 250K pot, and let's, you know, give that a second. But I was pretty confident. Like, I needed to find evidence to not do it as opposed to like supporting my call. So I was going over things and I was just like, I know I'm gonna call this. Actually, the funny thing is like I talked to my coach, the BBZ, about this afterwards, about all the hands that I played, and I spoke to Sam and Parker, and they all were mad at me for not barreling this hand all in. So they said that my hand was too strong to be a bluff catcher. My hand should have been a bet turn all-in river. That's how strong they thought my hand was in that case. So that's really interesting. And that just makes me feel even better about the call, obviously, because that makes it like a slam dunk call as well. So it's just hard, you know. I mean, you see how Keating plays. He's going to play more big pots this season. And you see how he plays. And I just, yeah, I mean, if he puts in with a gutter and then a turn double gutter against Tilly, and if you see the hands that he puts in and puts people to the test with, like, you know, it's the sort of like classical bluff run out, right, for the preflop raiser, like two Broadway cards, and I have the best one, like,
for sure.
Well, I don't, yeah.
Still two episodes to go, so obviously we'll not talk about what happens next. But I mentioned at the start that the last time we spoke to you was back in 2019, and it was at Lex Live 2. And here we are in 2024, and Lex Live 3. Yeah. Is going to be a thing.
Everything's getting a sequel.
Yeah, buddy. So we had Lex Live 3 planned, then COVID hit, and then we thought about, wanted to do it after, but then I had two kids, and life was pretty crazy with two kids under two, so it was pretty hectic. But now I'm really looking at a point, you know, to where I just want to do that every year again at the very least. And shout out to my man Dave Curtis as well, who I, you know, originally talked to about the Lex Live 1 concept. And I was talking to Dave, and he was just like, and this was like exactly what I needed. He just said to me, we're going to do Lex Live this year, and it will probably be better for your public appearance if you are there. But it's going to happen regardless if you want it or not. And that was just like, okay, you know, let's go, let's do it. Because of, you know, August is a incredibly busy poker month with Barcelona and obviously Estrella. So September is W Coupe, and then there's Cyprus in October, and then there's also like some, you know, kids vacations, whatever, in October. So I was like, okay, so it has to be the summer or November. And then we're just like, okay, you know, we can do Barcelona in July. So it's going to run from like the 9th of July till the 15th, where the 15th is just the final table, and the 9th is going to be some satellites, and the evening of the 9th I'm going to start with community activities. So we're going to host community activities all day long throughout the whole week. And then there will also be tournaments next to the main event that are very affordable with the schedule being out on the website of the casino now, which I'll also tweet. It's going to be good fun, and I can't wait for it again.
Cool.
I'm glad. I wish I could go. Actually, I'm just sitting here quietly thinking about how I wish I could go. Lex, I promised you 30 minutes. I do have a stupid game for you if you have 5 minutes to play a dumb game with us.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
All right, here we go. So I noticed over the years that there's been two main characters that you've sort of morphed into on your streams. There's the Terminator, right?
Yeah.
And then there's Beaker.
Yeah.
from the Muppets. So I've come up with a game for you. It's just called Terminator or Beaker.
Okay.
And I'm going to read you a fact about one of those characters.
Okay.
You just have to say whether it's Terminator or Beaker. And I'll say this. One of them is both.
Oh.
Okay.
One of them is both. Here we go. Which one was designed by puppeteer and special effects artist Stan Winston?
Beaker.
That one is Terminator. We're looking Jim Henson. Jim Henson was the designer of Beaker. Okay, here we go. He's already down one. Which one was featured in a Universal Studios attraction that opened in 1996? Terminator or Beaker?
Terminator.
Correct. All right, one and one. Which one is named after a piece of laboratory equipment?
Beaker.
Okay, here we go. Which one is seeking revenge against Dr. Honeydew?
Beaker.
All right. Which one appeared first appeared in 1984?
Both.
That is not the both, but I'll give you half a point because it is Terminator.
Okay. I knew that one. I was like, oh, man, that sounds like it could be close, you know?
Which one appeared in the 1991 music video for the Guns N' Roses song You Could Be Mine?
Both. No kidding. Terminator.
Terminator is correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which one had a series of clones created?
Terminator. Ooh. Oh, both and Beaker.
Yes.
Yes.
That is the both. You got the both. Nice save there. Which one failed to send his beautiful co-star Petra Nemkova away via teleporter?
Terminator.
Beaker. That one is Beaker, believe it or not. That is Beaker. Which one had a Saturday morning prequel cartoon?
Saturday morning prequel cartoon, Beaker?
That's right, Muppet Babies. The prequel cartoon was Muppet Babies. Which one featured on an episode of WWE Raw assisting Santino Marella in his match against Jack Swagger?
Terminator.
Beaker! In 2021, which one became a playable character in Fortnite?
Beaker.
Terminator!
No, what? I'm pretty up to date on the Fortnite song, but I guess not good enough.
And finally, which one was ranked number 28th in the Empire Magazine's greatest film characters? Excuse me.
Terminator.
Terminator is correct. I don't know what your final score was, but it was a fun game.
Yeah.
Lex, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. We know you're a busy guy. And hopefully it's not 5 years before we see you on the podcast again.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Okay, guys. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Time to welcome the final superfan of the season to the show. We say hello to Cornell Puskow. Hello, Cornell. How are you?
Hello, guys. Hello, hello. I'm very good. How about you? Love the content.
Hey, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're great. Look, before we started recording, you started saying some really nice things about us. Do you think you could just say that again real quick,
yeah,
some of it?
So if you really need this, I can tell my story again. So in 2009, when I started poker, I started watching you guys, and your content was amazing then. I had to stop in 2021 when I start playing poker. The content was greater than then, back in the days, and I still watch your content. And with your podcast, I listen on Audible almost 100 episodes already because it's way back. So I didn't have the time to do that.
Okay.
There's a lot to do.
You got some catching up to do for sure.
No, I'm at the day, but I can't listen the back. So I'm at the day with them.
Okay. And where are you in the world, Cornell?
I'm in Denmark.
Okay. In Denmark.
Yeah.
Excellent. A Pokestars DK player.
Yeah.
And you say you started playing poker again in 2021. How seriously are you playing poker? Are you a kind of semi-pro?
Willing to do to become pro. But at the moment, I'm playing low stakes. And in my bankroll and everything, as you can see, my back have a library. I start to teach myself, to learn. So now,
wow,
at the moment, low stakes player, hoping in the future to see you at the final table on one of your repeaties.
And what do you do when you're not playing poker, Cornell?
I think you never had this job on your podcast. I'm a delivery newspaper boy.
Fantastic.
Hey, right. So does that mean you work very early mornings and you're done early also?
In the night, exactly. I'm working only at night.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you must keep a really weird schedule. How does that work with playing poker?
Playing the morning schedule on PokerStars. So for me, three times a week, it's okay at the moment to play. Since I'll become pro.
Okay, well, as you know, we give you the opportunity to win a bronze power pass worth $109, plus that all-important yes. PokerStars merch to add to your Sharky, to add to your Red Spade hoodie. EPT Barcelona is the subject. Nearly 20 years of tournaments to talk about here. A genuinely iconic, historic event. Have you been doing your studying, Cornell?
For this podcast or
for this
podcast?
For this
he's like, yes, thank you for your question.
I took all the history from 2004 when you had your fourth EPT in Barcelona till now. But I know that you didn't have two stops in because of coronavirus.
Yes.
But I tried to take a look. I see all the short on YouTube regarding this, a lot of key hands that you had two hands that you very like when you invented dead by quads. Exactly. Yeah, invented on PokerStars.
I love that Cornell's probably giving me a bunch of answers right now. You should probably stop talking because it's gonna be a question.
Excited.
I'm gonna get the question. You're gonna have, and I would not have known it otherwise, which happens sometimes when we talk about stuff beforehand.
I can say with certainty that no answers have been given. I would also say that with a subject this broad, there is gonna be a certain amount of potluck with these questions. But that's part of the fun of the game. Just like with poker, variance is a factor. Cornell, you do get to go first, so please give me a number between 1 and 10.
Number 1.
Number 1.
Ooh.
On what date does the EPT Barcelona 2024 festival begin?
26th of August.
Correct for 2 points.
Holy shit. Dude did not hesitate for one second.
I know
second.
That because I will be there. So it's already scheduled for that.
Fantastic. Joe, what number would you like to start with?
I don't know. Give me, you know what? I'm going to go with number 2.
Number 2. The EPT Barcelona 2022 main event was the biggest of all time. How many total entries were there in this tournament, including re-entries?
I'll take the choices.
Okay. The numbers are 2,294. 2,383, 2,472, or 2,561?
May I hear the first one again, please?
2,294.
I'm going to go with 2,294.
You are correct, and you get 1 point.
All right, I'm on the board.
The score after the first round. Numbers 1 and 2 have gone, Cornell. You can have any other question.
Give me number 10, please.
Number 10. Okay, this is actually a question about Barcelona in general, but it has been covered multiple times in both the TV shows and the live streams. Which Barcelona monument is set to finally be completed in 2026?
As I remember, being there, Sagrada Familia.
Correct, for 2 points.
Catedral.
That was one of my only chances at getting 2 points, I think. Nice steal there, by the way. Also, I can't believe I mentioned this yet. I have absolutely no shot, given that it is the year of Romania.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe. Any number other than 1, 2, or 10?
Did Patrick screw me with number 9 or not this time around? I'll take a chance. I'll go 9.
Okay, well, the question relates to the most recent EPT Barcelona, an event which should be, and I emphasize the word should, fresh in your memory. There was a three-way deal at the final table between the champion Simon Witsiak, the runner-up Zhao Seidenstricker, and which other player who eventually finished third?
I'll take the choices.
Was it Santiago Plante, Patrick Yarosh, Carl Shaw, or Andre Akari?
Carl Shaw.
It was for 1 point. And we're into the next round. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8, Cornell.
Give me 2, please.
3.
Yeah.
The first ever EPT festival was in Barcelona, and it was back in 2004. Who was the runner-up to Alex Stevich in the first ever EPT main event?
I'm not sure, but I'll take the choice of this one.
Okay.
I don't want to miss.
Was it David O'Callaghan, Luca Pagano, Patrick Antonius, or Gus Hansen?
Number one.
It was David O'Callaghan for 1 point. 5-2 the score. 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8, Joe.
I feel like I'm doing good by like blocking Cornell where he goes. So he just took 3. I'll take 4.
Which EPT Barcelona champion has the most letters in their name when you combine forename and surname?
Okay, hold on.
Seems like a weird one to take the choices. Let me think about the EPT Barcelona champions. Who was the one? Hold on. I'm getting there. No. Ooh, okay. That's a decent one. Sebastian Mallets has a lot in his name. And then Tom Middleton. Is it Thomas or Tom Middleton? That probably might make a difference.
I think we would go with Tom in that instance. That's okay, how he's listed.
All right. And then we've got Andre Vital's not a lot. And Simone Witsiak. That's kind of a lot.
I can answer. Maybe. You can make 1 point to me, 1 point to you.
Wait, what?
I can answer for you, and we can make it 1-1.
Oh, you can answer for me. all right, I'll take the choices just in case I haven't said it yet.
Okay. The four options are Bertrand Gropelier, Giuliano Bendinelli, Sebastian Ruthenberg, or Sebastian Sorensen. Sebastian Sorensen has 18 characters. Sebastian Ruthenberg has 19. There was a trick in there. Bertrand Gropelier also has 19 characters, but Elke never won EPT Barcelona.
I at least knew that much.
Okay. Oh, the score is still 5-2, and we're into the penultimate round. 5, 6, 7, or 8, Cornell?
1, please.
Sorry, which number?
7.
Number 7, always coming. Joe mentioned Tom Middleton. In which year did he win the EPT Barcelona main event?
2013.
Correct, for 2 points. You have 7, having answered question 7. And Joe, you can have 5, 6, or 8.
6, please.
Who won the EPT Barcelona main event in 2005?
2004 was... Okay, I'll take the choices. I'll get it in the choices.
Okay. Was it Jan Boobly? You're going with Jan Boobly for 1 point.
Yeah.
Okay. It's looking pretty good, Cornell. 5 or 8. It doesn't really matter. I think you've got this game in the bag. But let's close out this quiz. So, 5 or 8?
No, please.
The venue, Casino Barcelona, is attached to which hotel?
May I take the choices, please?
You can. Is it the Sofitel, the Hotel Arts, the H10 Marina, or Le Meridian?
Let's see. The Marina.
It's not. It's the Hotel Arts. So, Joe, okay. The last question is question number 8. Now, bearing in mind that we have now grandfathered the 2017 event into the European Poker Tour, which nation has won the EPT Barcelona main event the most number of times?
That feels like a hint. That feels like a hint. We're going to go with Sweden.
Correct for 2 points, giving you a final score of 5. The 4 Swedish champions being Stevic, Lundmark, Sorensen, and Brandstrom. So 7-5 is the final score. Congratulations, Cornell. You are a winner. We are going to give you a bronze power pass. We are going to give you some exclusive Poker in the Ears merch. Thank you very much for being a fan, for being a supporter of our work, and thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for inviting me.
And Cornell, if you're not already getting a player bag at EPT Barcelona, come find me. I'll give you a copy of the comic book as well for coming on the podcast.
I will be sure, because I missed you last year in Barcelona, but this year I'll not miss this.
Okay, pal, you got me. Don't worry. Just hit me up on Twitter or something. We'll make sure you get one.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing you in Barcelona.
All right, my babies, we're just about out of time for this week's show, and sort of just about out of time for newish, timely episodes, right?
It's the season finale, Joe, to use your parlance.
It's our season finale. We're going to bank a couple of episodes next week, and we're really not going to talk to you with any real sort of temporal recentness until August.
Yeah, mid-August is when we're back in the run-up to the 20th anniversary of the EPT in Barcelona. And I think we'd already discussed the idea of getting Nicky Limo, the loose cannon that people are following right now in the big game on tour every week, try and catch up with her at the start of the new season. Mid-August is when we're back proper. Should we quickly talk about those two summer specials?
Two summer specials, and then I got some plugs I want to do. So let's do the summer specials first.
So the first one is going to drop in June, and that is going to be a Poker Movie Monday, recorded God knows when, released probably on a Thursday. And that is going to be the Steven Seagal poker movie, Gutshot Straight. I think we've got a super fan lined up. We've got a guest lined up. I have the movie downloaded to my iPad. I'm going to watch it on my flight to Vegas. And yeah, I expect it to be atrocious, mainly because Steven Seagal's in it. And the fact that it's a poker movie means it'll probably be bad even for a Seagal movie. And then...
Hold on. I'm excited about our guest for that episode as well. Worldwide Wob, if you're a fan of the NBA, if you're a fan of Birds in the Air, if you guys have any questions for Wob that you can get in for next week, if you want us to ask Wob something specific about his job as an NBA pundit or following those epic car chases throughout Southern California, make sure to get in touch via the Discord.
Bearing in mind that most of the time we're going to spend with him, we'll be talking about a Steven Seagal movie. The following episode, which will be released in July, will be a chance to get to know Kenny Hallett, who recently signed with PokerStars, newest member of the team. And also, we will do our recap of what we're calling Season 1A of the Big Game on Tour. By the time that episode drops in July, you'll have been able to see all five episodes of that table of Nicky Limo's journey as a loose cannon. So we'll recap that before you get to see the second table, the second lineup, the second batch of five episodes, what I'm calling Season 1B. So yeah, two shows to be dropped during the summer months before we return proper in mid-August.
Now, will we have time if people have TDS questions they want to ask Kenny?
Potentially, yes. So if there's anything specific you want to ask Kenny, especially if it's a what would you do situation related to a tournament ruling, as Kenny is himself a TD and obviously is on the PokerStars team partly as a live events consultant. Podcast discussion, use that channel on the PokerStars Discord server. There is a link in the podcast description. And do keep applying for Superfan versus Stapes, because Patrick will start getting people booked in for when we come back after the summer break.
And finally, you know, just my summer months, or at least the month of June, is going to be spent doing this road trip comedy tour. I know we don't have a ton of listeners in the States, but if you're anywhere in the states of Arkansas, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, Kentucky, Texas, we're going to be all over those places, New Mexico, Arizona, and finally, Las Vegas, Nevada, July 5th. We're going to be shooting a special taping just off the strip. Very easy to get to. You can walk there from Aria, technically. So if you're going to be in any of those spots, please get in touch. Watch the social medias over the summer. And hopefully we can get you out to see a stand-up show. And finally, I think that James and I are probably going to be at the Run Good Stop in Sacramento at Thunder Valley at the end of July. So if you want to come hang out with me and James, I think that he and I are going to make a personal trip there, if not an official one. I don't know what our exact dates are going to be, but again, watch our Twitters most specifically to find out when we'll be at some Thunder Valley. Would love to have you guys come play some events with us up there.
Yeah, hope to make it to that event. Obviously, just got to balance that with our commitments back in London. There's a UK IPT at the start of August, and there are more big game shows to voice.
That's right. Lots and lots to do. Lots of stuff going on this summer. But for now, that's all the time we have got for this episode, for this season of Poker in the Ears. Until next time, for James Hardigan, I am Joe Stapleton. Smell you later.